Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and sat him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on your hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Well, it has been a challenging week at the Costner household. Joshua was sick Sunday, Monday, I believe it was, and then Wednesday I went down and am just now getting up. Caleb was sick Friday, and something's wrong with Heather because she doesn't get it, so I don't know. But anyway, even if I had been well and the message would have come together, I think I would have set it aside this morning. Because I want to at least attempt to do two things. Number one, I want us to set aside time to pray for the community of Parkland, Florida, and all that has transpired there with another school shooting. And I don't want us to get used to these things, but through the last couple of years when we've had a tragic national incident like this, I've appreciated that we've taken time to pray into that. So we're going to do that. But also this week to celebrate the fact that the Reverend Billy Graham went home to be with his Lord after 99 years and many years of ministry, I'd like to pay tribute to him and his ministry this morning. So I've got three videos. The first one's fairly short that will show you, give you a visual of what the chaplains through the Billy Graham Association are doing in Parkland on site, ministering to the people locally there on site. And then the second one, I hope you appreciate the tie-in, but it was also President's Day earlier this week. Some still refer to it as George Washington's birthday. And actually, I believe it was, I'm going to get it wrong. It's either Lyndon Johnson or one of the presidents of that era, Truman maybe, but from that point forward, every single president has called Billy Graham into their office for advice or prayer or consulting. He had the ear of world leaders through his ministry, and so there's about a five-minute video that speaks to that, all of these presidents that were touched by his ministry. And then the final video is about 8 minutes of him sharing his final message, kind of summarized, and after we see that, then I'll lead us in prayer for the families in Florida. So
we're here in Parkland, Florida, where on Wednesday, February 14th, a former student at the high school here in Parkland entered the school and murdered 17 people. They set up a cross for every single one of the victims. There are 17 crosses here with the names on them, so they could have individual memorials for each person. And then up on the stage behind us, they have 17 angels that they light up at night. And this is where the people come to mourn and to talk and to pray. And this is where we do our ministry with the rapid response team. We have 13 chaplains here right now. We are trained in the emotional, spiritual care of people that are going through trauma. And we bring the love of Jesus Christ to them in any way that we can. It's just the tragedy of life being caught so violently short by such evil. Pray for the chaplains as they go forward, taking the word of God to these people that are really suffering. Pray that they would bring peace and comfort to these people who are really hurting from this tragedy.
If we were to follow the footsteps of an ordinary man who had one day been dramatically changed by an extraordinary God, would we believe those steps would journey from the rolling fields of North Carolina to the steps of the White House and beyond?
I just felt God was speaking to me, and he said, I want to use you. And I said, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll be what you want me to be. I'm yours.
Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to the whole world. His gospel is for everyone, whoever you are.
He's one of the great evangelists of our nation's history. His crusades are legendary. The size of his crowds were magnificent throughout the years because of the message and because of the messenger.
That's the beauty and the greatness and the thrill of God's love.
The kind of person that a person in my position wants to know.
While preaching to millions around the world, Billy Graham found himself being called upon many times as God's ambassador to world leaders. The ministry of Billy Graham as friend and counselor to U.S. presidents remains to this day unprecedented. In 1950, Billy was asked to visit the White House for the first time to meet with then-President Harry S. Truman. Soon after, every U.S. president since World War II found occasion and reason to call on the advice and friendship of Billy Graham.
We need to pray for our president and for those in authority, as the scriptures have told us. He faces tremendous responsibilities.
Lyndon Johnson wrote in a personal letter to Billy Graham, my mind went back to those lonely occasions at the White House when your friendship helped to sustain a president in an hour of trial. No one will ever know how you helped to lighten my load or how much warmth you brought into our house. But I know.
The reason world leaders have sought his advice is precisely because he doesn't try to tell them what they should do tomorrow, but he does try to show them a way of thinking about the problem that adds a new dimension to their thinking.
Throughout the world, governmental leaders have been asking the tough spiritual questions of Billy Graham, looking for answers. His ministry as an evangelist, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, has worked to shape the destiny of nations.
At the end of these meetings with these communist officials, they would be sitting there in stone silence, listening to every word that my father said. And when my father finished speaking, they would say, oh, but Dr. Graham, we have also wondered if there was a God. Talk to us more about how we can know God.
So I think he was one of the forces that kept a window open to the human spirit during these oppressive years.
8 years ago, one of the Lord's great ambassadors, the Reverend Billy Graham, went to Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, and upon returning spoke of a movement there toward more religious freedom. And perhaps he saw it before many of us, because it takes a man of God to sense the early movement of the hand of God.
And the same thing with these Chinese leaders that we saw in Russia. They would begin to ask my father spiritual questions. These are the kind of questions that were asked by top Chinese officials and Chinese leaders.
Reverend William Billy Graham's untiring evangelism has spread the word of God to every corner of the globe and made him one of the most inspirational spiritual leaders of the 20th century.
I think it's through him that I found myself praying even more than a daily basis to give me the wisdom to make decisions that would serve God and be pleasing to him.
Billy Graham, the man, the preacher, the humble farmer's son who helped change the world, is a spiritual gift to all of us.
Who is this unique person that comes across the pages of history? Who is this Jesus Christ?
He's had many opportunities over the years to do other things that he turned down because God had called him to a higher calling, and that was to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ and to take the gospel to literally the ends of the earth.
As I look back over my life, it's full of surprises. I never thought I would become friends with people in different countries all over the world. I see how God's hand guided me. When I began preaching many years ago, it was not with any thoughts that I'd be preaching to large audiences.
Come to the cross.
God has done this.
Christ is alive. Modern America today, there is a faith in the soul.
Our country's in great need of a spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross. The cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on a wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and bloodstained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love.
And He loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins. The cross is offensive because it confronts people. Even so, it's a confrontation that all of us must face. I look out across an audience when I stand up to preach, and I think of all the people with their different backgrounds and their various needs. And I know that they are objects of God's mighty love. To the point that He gave His Son, His only Son, to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all that in our place because of our sins. We deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that that means. I know that there are many people that dispute that. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. To many people, it's an offense. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world. One reason that the cross is an offense to people is because it demands, doesn't suggest, it demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us break those chains. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. He can make you a totally new person. On that cross, God was laying on Jesus our sins. They not only put nails in His hands, but before that, they scourged Him. A Roman scourge was a terrible thing. They took whips and pellets on those whips and beat a person
almost to death. And then they took that cross and made him carry the cross, which was, in his weakened condition, was almost impossible. But he carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem. And then they put nails in his hands. But that was not the real suffering. The real suffering is when he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In that terrible moment, he and God the Father were separated. He shed his blood, and the shedding of that blood carries with it God's very life. There is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The only way to the Father, Father God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why Jesus? He's the only one that was born into this world without sin. But more than that, he was a righteous one. And when you come to him, you're clothed in his righteousness. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your own heart. He sees Jesus. When you come to Christ, you come by the way of repentance. Repent means to change. To change your way of living and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and say, "I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I know that you're the only one that can change me." Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, sentence by sentence, after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you've died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's alive! I've given my life not to a dead Christ, but to a living Christ. And he's given me a song to sing. He's given me a flag to follow. I have reason for existence. I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. Do you?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the chance to celebrate the faithfulness of this your servant, whose life has had a ripple effect throughout the world, that many lives have been impacted for eternity's sake by his faithfulness to the cross and the gospel and your everlasting love. So we thank you, Lord, because you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whomsoever believes in you should not perish, but have eternal life. We thank you for this saint who lived by that conviction for so many years. Now, Lord, we grieve with those who are still hurting in the violent aftermath of this senseless shooting that once again has taken place in Parkland, Florida, even though it's been a couple of weeks now. We tend to hear these things so often that we could possibly grow cold to the fact that it's just another one, but don't let us be that way. Oh God, violence has broken out again among our children, and we are shocked, we are pained, we are astounded, we are angry at the injuries that one child has caused, and at the injury in his own soul that could allow him to act so brutally toward others. We pray even now for his salvation and healing. Oh God, we pray for all who attend to all these who are wounded, for those whose wounds would take maybe months to heal physically, but maybe years for the scars that are unseen to heal. Lord, we pray for those in the hospitals, for those in counseling sessions, for those in the pharmacies, for those in homes and huddles of friendships, and in our congregations. We pray for those congregations, even in that community now, that will open their hearts to the hurting and be the hands and feet of Christ for those who have lost loved ones, for those whose 17 children so unexpectedly and quickly left this earth and are left behind in the confusion and the darkness and the brokenness. We pray you would meet them there even now. Father, we pray for all who will manage the aftermath in the schools, in the classrooms, in the board meetings, in the halls of policy, in legislation. Lord, I cannot even begin to imagine going back, but they must go back and start again. And so, Lord, we pray not knowing answers, beyond seeking answers, simply seeking you. Be their presence, be their peace. Thank you so much for those who have stepped up to serve as chaplains and other caregivers in ministry. Oh, Jesus, be the healer of their soul. Be the one that they can lean on when the nights are long and the confusion comes back and the pain and the hurt still tends to just hang around. Almighty and merciful God, through Jesus Christ, you have taught us to love one another. You have taught us to love our neighbors as ourselves and even to love our enemies. You're the only one that calls us to act this way. In times of violence and fear, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts so that we may not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's take a moment of silence, whether we know the names or not, for those whose families are hurting and broken even now. You are a good God. Help us to see each person in light of the love and grace you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Put away the nightmares of terror and awaken us to the dawn of your new creation. And establish among us a future where peace reigns, justice is done with mercy, and all are reconciled in Christ. We ask these things in the name of for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen.